Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim and Jamal Potts, back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for joining us on your Sunday afternoon or your evening, depending on what coast you're on. Well, Jamal, back again for another week. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy Sunday to everybody out there.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Hey, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about whether or not this thing with social distancing is actually working. Is it accomplishing its purpose? Does it really work? We've gotten a lot of feedback on it. And also, we're going to be talking about 10 ways to keep the virus away. So you want to have your pen and paper ready for that one as well. I think some of this, in my opinion, is a common sense approach. But we'll just have to wait and see. Okay. We're also going to be talking about, before we get into this, Jamal, did you hear anything more about that Aubrey shooting?
Oh, yeah, I did. So far, I've heard that the owner of the property said that he just viewed the camera, several times while the property was being built. He said he didn't think of anything was a big deal. Nothing was missing from his property. And he saw Mr. Aubrey actually drinking water, maybe from like a water hose or something like that. He said that it was not uncommon that plenty of people have been to that construction site, just looking around out of curiosity to see what the floor plan is and what are the, he said he's seen several people there and the police have never been called. So he didn't call the police, never did he have any intentions on calling the police either. So, there's some interesting pieces going on with this case. The only 911 call for burglary that they had was like a year prior to this. And guess who was done by? The same father that was part of killing Mr. Aubrey.
If he was drinking water, that might be consistent with the fact that he was actually out jogging. And he may have just stopped to get some water. So that's interesting.
Very true.
Yeah, I've had some people that have written in and said that they thought that, it's just racism, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. And I don't know. It could be,
Well, go ahead. Allegedly, there's a picture of the father at a Klan rally. Mm. You got to start wondering what the motivation was. If plenty of people have been on that property and the police was never called, then why this time? Why did this lead to this man being killed? I hear a lot of people try to say that, self-defense because Mr. Aubrey was attacking him. Well, I don't think you get the call self-defense if you instigate the situation. If you jumped in your truck and drove down and chased this man with guns, two of you guys with guns, yes, that Mr. Aubrey's in legitimate fear of his life at that point.
Well, I would agree with that. This business about, I fully agree with that. I mean, if he attacked them, which is what they're claiming, of course, but the reality is that he may have been thinking, I better do something to defend myself. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? That'll be the issue.
Right.
But anyway, let's do some other shout outs. Hopefully they'll get that resolved. With these things, a jury will have an opportunity to decide all of the facts. They'll hear all of the facts. We talked off the air. You indicated that they had two separate attorneys. But, for the listeners, don't be surprised about that because these two defendants have differing situations. One was the one that pulled the trigger. The other one was not. So they're not going to be tried together. They're going to be tried separately. So it's somewhat of a conflict. They're not going to be able to have the same attorney representing two different interests. So that's why that is. But I want to send a shout out for those of you that didn't see on the news, LA County Fire Department. Well, actually it was the city of Los Angeles, but it ended up involving a lot of different fire units. There was a major fire last night in Los Angeles where 11 firefighters got burned. Some of them really bad because they responded to a fire. And as it turned out, that the building that was on fire they ended up being an explosion. And what kind of building was it? What kind of business was it? It had to do with, you know, cannabis and hash oil. So they think some of the butane tanks and the oil and things of that nature is what made it so devastating. It's right down by downtown L.A. It's not in downtown, but I guess you could call it that. But these guys were already up there and on the scene. Some were on the roof, some were on the inside. And then they figured out something bad was going on, and they tried to get out because they were ordered to get out. But before they could get out, there was that explosion. They had over 200 mm-hmm. fire trucks that ended up responding down there, something like that anyway. I mean, it was...
Yeah, I heard. It was
a bad scene. But, the other thing that was kind of disheartening, Jamal, I don't know if you heard this on the news, but they had a shooting last night in Louisiana. 13 people were shot. It was at a funeral. And I don't know, maybe I don't want to speak out of turn, but it sounds like it was gang related because this one guy was found dead in his car on May 9th. And all of a sudden now you had somebody that was shooting at the funeral or something of that nature anyway. So we'll follow up on that a little bit. But I hope it's not an indication that, you know, things are starting to get bad again because people are starting to get out, you know, and now, you know, we get back to a situation in society where people are feeling a little bit more free about, you know, things with these shootings and things of that nature, but time will tell.
Right.
Okay. Social distancing, does it really work? Jamal, what's your opinion? Does social distancing really work? What's your opinion?
I think it works. I do. I think it works, man. I think it's a good idea, man, with the times that we're living in. You know what I mean? Social distancing, staying away from people, man, and which is cool because I've been trying to keep my distance from quite a few people anyway, man, so I got an excuse now. But I do think it's a good thing, man. Like, you know, wearing masks in public and, you know, in the stores and everything is just the times that we're living in, and we got to change with the times. So, okay. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Well, before we get too deep into it, let's go ahead and get these emails out of the way, and then we'll come back to that. Okay, so here's the first email. Jim, first China introduces a pandemic to the world. Then they lie about how it got started. Then they withhold vital statistical information that could have helped other countries, including the United States. On top of it, they knew about it. They knew about the virus and let people fly out of their country knowing it would spread. Now I heard on the news that Chinese hackers were attempting to steal the coronavirus virus data on treatments and vaccines. Where does it end with those people? The United States and other world leaders should take action against China. They should not be able to get away with this. And that's from Ben from Fresno, California. Fresno, California. Well, Ben, look, the reality is, I mean, I agree. I mean, all of these things are definitely things that we've heard about. China is way out of line with this. You know, they did exactly what you said. I mean, they may be in denial on some of this. I never understand about these hackers in general. But here, these guys are trying to hack something to try to get in and find out about the information on the vaccines and where the research is going. You would think that, quite honestly, that they're already working on vaccines, one would think. So I don't know. I can't swear that they're part of the Chinese government. But certainly I heard on the news also about these hackers. And, you know, China has a habit of doing these kind of things with these cyber attacks and things of that nature. So I don't know. You know, we'll have to wait and see how it all pans out. You know, there's a lot of calls by governments. Yeah, go ahead, Jamal.
Well, don't all governments try to keep their secrets locked in as much as possible? And all governments have, like, you know, some type, you know, different kind of cover-ups and stuff like that. I mean, you know, China's no
okay. So wait. So what you're saying then is that governments, at first of all, it's a pandemic, okay?
Right.
But I think is what I hear you saying is that government tries to keep their secrets and things of that nature locked in, their dirty laundry locked in, basically. I get that.
Right.
But you're talking about, first of all, this is not the first pandemic that China's been involved in. So let's start with that one. OK,
right.
So, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe they thought they could contain it. Maybe they thought that it wouldn't get out because the last thing they would want is, you know, be accused of another pandemic. But remember, the World Health Organization, was probably aware of this as well. So let's put China to the side for a second and say, well, okay, they obviously had contacted the World Health Organization, and from what I understand, they were helping them keep it quiet for a moment or two, whatever the case may be. So to me, the World Health Organization is, they're out there, they're supposed to be, you know, basically dropping a dime, ringing the bell, doing whatever they have to do, because they're supposed to be impartial.
Right.
And they failed in their obligation. But getting back to China, China has always been, you know, a nation, in my opinion, that's secretive. Yes, we do have our secrets and all of that. I get that. But this is something that, in my opinion, that once it did get out, then they're in denial. So, okay, once it got out, why are they denying on the statistics? That's different. We need to, because it started there, these other governments needed the information, Jamal, okay, to say, okay, this is what it looks like. This is what it's doing, blah, 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 blah. China failed to do that. They didn't let the other governments know. And that was vital information in my, you know, in my opinion. Well, a lot of people's opinion, you know, from that perspective. And what about the fact that when they knew about it, they were letting, here's what was happening. They were letting people fly out, but they weren't letting other people come in. So how do you do that both ways? That doesn't work. Right. So I don't know, you know, Ben, look, here's the deal. The deal is that the world leaders are going to take care of this. We see it all in the news. I don't think China ultimately is going to get away with this. They're going to put, I think we've talked about on one of the previous shows regarding sanctions or whatever they're going to do. They're not going to go to war. Nobody's going to war. But, you know, I think the biggest way personally to hurt China is to start taking all the manufacturing that China is doing. And all these nations need to pull back and say, you know what, it may be a little bit more costly for us to do this in our own nation in terms of whatever the manufacturing, whatever the goods are, maybe a little bit more expensive. But you know what? We need to start doing that, because otherwise you're always going to be at you know, at China's mercy. Now, Japan, as an example, is doing that. I know the United States, you know, is doing that. Trump has talked about that even before he even got into office, before he was even running for an office, has spoken out about the fact that so many things that we have here being manufactured are in China. So Ben, I think that the way to hurt them is for these countries to wake up and ignore the cost. I mean, it's like Nike. Jamal, remember when Nike had, you know, because Nike got called out on the carpet? Remember that?
Right.
Because it was cheaper to make it, you know, the shoes or sneakers over there. We need to pull that stuff back and not be at any country's mercy, quite frankly. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Is it that the country need to pull back, or the wealthy business owners that got all the businesses going on over there in China that has all the manufacturing jobs in China that's going on? Because we know we live in a capitalist society. And so if it's cheaper labor over there, it's going to cause a lot of problems politically and stuff like that with people. You know what I mean? So these business owners is getting away with this stuff over there, and they're causing some of these problems.
Let's just be clear. Business owners in general are always going to seek to make a profit. I mean, they're in business to make a profit. If I can get a glass made cheaper in China, okay, and over here it's going to cost me 30 cents to make that glass, and over in China it's going to cost me 3 cents, they're going to do it, okay?
Right.
But when you say the government versus the individual businesses, you know, businesses have a right to do whatever they want to do, you know, to run their business in a profitable manner. But what we're talking about here is the fact that the government, the United States government, as an example, could tax these guys at a different rate because of the fact that they're not having it manufactured here. They're having it manufactured in another country. That's the way, you know, and then that brings revenue back to the countries. I don't know. We'll see how that unfolds. But I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she has horses. She was telling me that a bale of hay is cost them $40 per bale. And that bale, she's got two horses. That bale of hay only lasts 1 week. And it's not just for hay, you know, for horses. I mean, these other cows eat hay. But here's the other deal. She was saying that that they're sending the hay over to China and then sending it back here. And that's why it's costing them so much money, as opposed to, I can't swear to every farmer that grows hay and cuts hay, that every single one of them is sending it over to China. So I don't know the intricate details on it, but she was telling me it's well known, you know, in the equestrian circle, that this stuff is somehow being routed through China and then back to them. She's paying $40 a hay. I mean, we drove up to Santa Paula not too long ago here in California, and we have seen where a farmer had just got through, cutting the hay and putting it in bales. That's local. So why does it need to go out? It's the same thing that you just said, because it's probably, they're being paid at a higher rate for it to go wherever it's going, and now you gotta pay this way in order to, you gotta pay the higher rate in order to get it. I think it's ridiculous, but that's what's going on. And that's one of the things that the current administration is talking about. By the way, if anybody has any questions or wants to call in, the number is 818-602-4929, or you could go on our website and look it up. And or you can always send me an email, listenup@potsandassociates.com, as so many people do. And if you want to get my blog or the email blast about the upcoming show topics, text Potts Associates and text that to 22828. Enter your email address, and you'll get whatever the topic is for that week. So at any rate, Jamal, look, Ben, that's the deal. I think we are going to take some action. We just need everybody to be patient with it. This still has to run its course, because this is not going to happen anytime soon. I think we have to make a proper assessment of exactly the cost that was involved in this, which is what some of the states are already doing, already filing lawsuits. But I think as a nation, we have to wait until we get a proper assessment of the damages that might be affiliated with this liability.
Right.
Okay, number two, Jim, we have been deceived by the politicians. We have been deceived by the politicians on local and state levels. In the beginning of the pandemic, we were told we need to shelter in place to flatten the curve. We understood the concept and did what we were told. Now, after the curve has flattened, we are still being told, basically, to stay home. People are upset. They want to go out and they want to go back to work. We cannot continue to follow the guidelines from the mayors and the governors. Business owners like myself are suffering. People, so please ask your listeners to protest and complain so we can get back to normal. Jackie, Memphis, Tennessee. Well, first of all, I don't know that we're ever going to get back to quote unquote normal. The new norms that come out after that 10 years from now, this will just be the way everything is in terms of some of the things that we're doing. And unless somebody looks back in the history to know why things changed, they're not even going to know it. But I don't know that we're ever going to be back to normal per se. Now, shaking hands, in my opinion, they say that that's going to be the new norm, no more shaking hands and things of that nature. I don't necessarily believe that, because people were already, especially during the flu season, after they were shaking hands with people or hesitant to shake hands with people during the flu season, they were sanitizing or washing their hands anyway. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that, Jamal?
Yes, I do agree with that. But I think you're absolutely right. Like the new normal is going to be changed. We're going to be forever different. Somebody I heard was talking to compared this to 9/11. After 9/11 happened, the way we live in terms of like the security and checkpoints and stuff like that is totally different. And somebody compared this to 9/11, and I started agreeing with them. Like, in terms of the way we're going to live the rest of our lives is going to be different as far as taking precautions and stuff with these kind of pandemics and stuff, in terms of social distancing, wearing masks, more hand sanitizer. And I think it's right. Things are going to change from here on out.
Well, listen, first of all, they're talking about a vaccine. And they talk about it could take a year to 18 months on this vaccine. Let me tell you something. When a vaccine comes out, you think people are still going to be worried after that? I don't think so. I mean, I see people walking around without masks right now. I see people being interviewed on TV that said, oh, you know what? I'm just not worried about it. I can't worry about this. Now, Jamal, this is way before your time. But when I was younger, and I mentioned this slightly on the show last week, I think, about polio. people were concerned about getting polio. So what do we do? I mean, what do you think happened? People were careful about this. Then the vaccine came out. After the vaccine came out, you think anybody was worried about polio after that? The answer is no. Last case of polio, I think, was 1979. So I think when they get a the vaccine, and I think there's going to be a certain comfort level that people are going to have, and you're going to see things go back. And my this is just my humble opinion, of course. I think things are going to go back to what we understand, because business people, they shake hands. They do that, okay? So I don't think that's going to be totally eliminated. Hell, you and I shake hands, you know. You know, family members shake hands. So I don't know that the shaking the hands thing is going to be completely done away with. And everything else about the mask and all of that. Look, the mask for people right now are inconvenient anyway. So, you know, they wear them because they have to wear them. You can't go in the store without the mask. 2 years from now, I can't even imagine, maybe even sooner, I can't imagine a store saying you can only come into the store if you're wearing a mask. I just don't see that happening. Once the vaccine happens and it settles down, and these pandemics, they come out every whatever it is, you know, at, you know, years, you know, we're not careful with all this, with all stuff. They're stretched out. So one of the things I've always talked about on the show is that Americans or people in general have a tendency to forget things. We're never going to forget the coronavirus, don't get me wrong, but they'll be 5 years from now. They'll be, hey, remember when the COVID-19 came out? Oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not going to be on their minds the same way.
Right.
It's like AIDS. When AIDS first came out, that was on everybody's lips. When was the last time you heard anything about AIDS? And everybody was in a panic mode regarding AIDS.
Right.
So I just think that these things run their course, so to speak. And when the scientists and the doctors, when they do their thing and they get it right, you know, they're going to be doing these vaccines. So, no, I don't think it's going to last forever. I really don't. But getting back to this email from Jackie from Memphis, you know, the reality is that, there, you know, I say I don't think anything will be back to normal. You know, but I do think at some point things will at least gravitate away from the stringent measures that we're taking right now. And I agree with you, Jackie, that the, you know, people are getting very, very upset with this because they're putting screws to American citizens, even though they're not intending to do that. Look at the amount of people that are complaining about these things, you know, and people are getting tired. We're Americans. We're not used to this.
Right.
You know, and there's things people could be doing. Jamal, what did you tell me that you did with your daughter yesterday?
Yeah, we went to the beach to go watch the sunrise like early in the morning, man. We went out there and hung out. Honestly, at the time we went, there wasn't a whole lot of people there. We just parked on the streets. I know the parking lots were closed, but we was able to park on the street and go hang out at the beach for a little bit. And it was a good time. You know, as we left, we could see it was starting to get crowded out there. It might have had like 50 surfers out there, you know, on their boards and stuff. So.
You know, my concern.
People ready to get out the house.
I talked to a person, a friend of mine, the other day, and her thing is she lives by herself in an apartment. She's telling me how depressed that she's getting because of the fact that she lives there by herself. She's on a layoff from work. You can't go anywhere because there's nowhere to go, quite frankly. And she was talking about that she has a tendency to get depressed on some days because she can't go anywhere. She's locked in. And this is in L.A.
Right.
And now you hear Garcetti. Now I saw where Mayor Garcetti said that they what he's, you know, originally they said they were going to be locked down to the end of the year or something like that for another 3 months. Garcetti came out and said, no, that's not accurate. So he was saying that that is not going to be that long. But still, people are getting claustrophobic, you know, and they're getting cabin fever and they want out. So to me, some of the restrictions are being lifted. Come on, people, make sure that you're still doing, because I don't want them to come back and say, oh, it's spiking, because people are not still being conscientious about their, you know, social distancing, you know, so.
But, I will say this, though, it's brought out some better sides, some better sides to me. I'm doing things I've never done before. I mean, I'm living at home by myself right now, and, you know, now I'm gardening, you know what I mean? I'm growing a lemon tree on my patio. I bought a fuchsia plant the other day that I thought was really cool. You know what I mean? I've never done stuff like that before. I've been decorating my apartment. You know what I mean? I've literally had pictures sitting here for 7 years now. You know what I mean? But I've been hanging them up and, you know, I mean, finding new hobbies and stuff, you know, take advantage of the opportunity.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Matter of fact, over here at our house, that's what we've been doing. There's a lot of work we've done around here, landscaping on the house, reorganizing the workshop, the storage sheds. I mean, we've done all of that, you know, right. And quite frankly, you look at it and say, oh, you know what? It needed it. So we're taking advantage of that. But still, once that plays out, you're still ready to get out. And that's going to be the bottom line. So at any rate, Jackie, there it is. Hey, let's go to this third one, Jamal. Jim, I know you don't take sides in politics, but my question is not about Republican or Democrats. What is your opinion about mail-in ballots for the presidential election in November? I think this is a crazy idea. People are going to cheat, and that concerns me. Any election should be a fair process. I think the Democrats are desperate and will do anything to get a favorable result in November. What is your opinion about the mail-in ballots? Tom from San Antonio, Texas. Well, look, Tom, let me just tell you something. First of all, as of September, way back in September of 2014, things started moving in a direction. First of all, they've already got mail-in ballots. They got absentee ballots.
Right.
People are concerned about the pandemic. 33 states in the District of Columbia already allow early voting with no excuse required, so they can already. So that's one thing. 27 states in the District of Columbia permit voters to vote absentee without requiring an excuse, and 20 states permit voters to vote via absentee ballot but require an excuse. 6 states and the District of Columbia allow voters to request permanent absentee status. 5 states, which is Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Utah, and Hawaii, conduct their elections completely by mail. So, look, I don't know. You know, it's a little known fact that there's a lot of voter fraud that's out there. They talk about it all the time. I'm not getting into which side does that, which side doesn't. There's probably, you know, on both sides where people are not doing the things that they're supposed to do or they're cheating, et cetera. I mean, that's just who they are. Plus, on top of that, they got group voter fraud out there as well. And what I mean by that is that they have special interest groups, have a long history of voter fraud in the United States. And, you know, these individuals, you know, almost have nothing to gain from defrauding the government and risking their freedom for one vote. I mean, these people are out there. There's no doubt about it. There's people out there that are obsessed with this process. And it's definitely going to happen. Now, I don't know. You know, does the impact of, you know, the upcoming election? I don't know. Here's the deal, Jamal. You know, if Biden wins, Trump is going to claim an issue. If Trump wins, Biden's probably going to claim the issue because that's just the way that it works, especially if it's in a close election. See, that's where it's going to get ugly. If it's a close election, then there's going to be a lot of finger pointing going on. I'm sure of that. Right. So, you know.
The loser always feels cheated. You know what I mean? That's the bottom line. I mean, if you go back even to the time that, you know, Al Gore lost, you know what I mean? I remember that was a big controversy when he felt cheated that Bush beat him out. You know what I mean? So there's always going to be some kind of conspiracy theory, somebody cheated. But like you mentioned, people have been voting by mail for a long time now. It's just that right now, at the time that we live in it, it's just going to have to be more mail, you know? So I don't know. I wouldn't really pay it that much attention.
Well, again, it's going to heat up. If it's a close election, you watch. That's right. Going to be a big issue, you know, because nobody's going to be happy. You know, with the last presidential election, there were allegations by the losing party about something wasn't right here, something wasn't right there, blah, 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 okay? I'm not mentioning any names, but we all know who it was. But still, it's like, hey, you know, that's why some of these people said that we don't have a legitimate president right now. But this is just how people feel. These are all opinions. The Bernie people, you know, last year felt all burned, you know, and set aside because of the fact that, you know, some feel he got, you know, screwed, basically. And so we'll see. Huh?
He did.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I'm not going to get into that piece of it because I get it. You know, again, like you just said, right. The losers always feel that they got slighted. Because you're back to the same situation this time because he's out again. You know, so right. I don't know. You know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. All right, let's talk about the social distancing thing. You know, does it really work? Jamal, you started talking a little bit earlier about this, and I don't know. You know, look, you know, first of all, we know Americans have been complaining about an unhealthy lack of bipartisanship on the political scenes for years. But when this came out, basically we got bipartisanship, but maybe not what the kind they were hoping for. Now, in their first response, Republican and Democrats really seemingly united in favor of social distancing, quarantining of the infected, and prevention of large gatherings. They all seem to be on the same page with that, because even they were doing that. But as the first fog of panic wears off, come on, you know there's another bipartisan phenomenon that's beginning to sweep the nation, and that's because people are beginning to wonder whether or not the whole thing is doing more harm than good, simply meaning you've got all the social distancing going on, you got all these shutdowns going on, but hey, is it really doing more harm than good? And you got people committing suicide, you got people now protesting. What do you think, Jamal?
I think social distancing is good, man. You know, sometimes we gotta change with what's going on. You know what I mean? I've heard people calling this a pandemic. Like this was something like, you know, planned out. And, you know, come on, man. Like, listen, we have to just do what we have to do to stay healthy. Let's not get greedy because the risk is not worth the reward. I understand we got to pay our bills and things like that. I understand the concerns. But at the same time, do you really want to risk bringing back a coronavirus to your parents, to your children? You know what I mean? We got to keep these things, you know, we got to keep things in perspective. I think the social distancing thing is great.
Look, you know what? The case for social distancing is really straightforward. The problem is that the American healthcare system has the capacity to treat only so many people at a time. If the virus spreads too quickly, the number of people in need of treatment will exceed that capacity. And that's the problem. We found that out with the ventilators and things of that nature. Although, let's face it, it never ended up being at the level that they thought that it was going to be at. And that's part of the panic, the panic that people go through with some of these things. I know we're supposed to have the best minds out there, the best scientists and things of that nature. They were projecting all of this, you know, and they did the same thing with, I'll just stick with AIDS for a second. They did the same thing with AIDS. All these millions of people that were going to be infected, you know, blah, 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 blah. It never got to the level. It's still a serious thing. Okay. But it never got to the level when this first came out that they were initially claiming. And again, it's because we don't know. And that's part of the problem. Now, to the argument that Americans endure the flu with little or no stress, despite the fact that the flu kills about 50,000 people a year. We don't even pay attention to that. You know, it has nothing to do. Why not social distancing? Now I will say that during flu season, Jamal, I mentioned it earlier. What do people do? They don't shake hands. Or if they shake hands, they got their sanitizer. Hand sanitizer didn't come out last year, okay, or within the last 6 months. It's been around. Okay, and that's for a reason, because, we got flu season coming up. Everybody be sure to wash your hands. Flu season's over. Nobody really thinks about it at all. So, you know, from that perspective anyway. Now, I don't really have an issue with the social distancing. The measures to the pandemic focus only on the benefits to the actions. That's the problem I have, and I have ignored the cost that's going to be associated with that. And that's why right now businesses are hurting. They're hurting because of the fact that we're going through all the social distancing. And once again, the businesses are closed. People aren't going out. I mean, it's all of those things. And it's killing the economy right now. Not to mention the fact that people are out of work. And I think that's what makes it bad, too. Now, I don't want to be callous when I talk about that this thing is a cost. It's a heavy cost burden because a lot of people are, you know, have died. I think the last count I saw was 88,000 people in this country have died. But most of those people that have died, unfortunately, are elderly people. A lot of these from these homes is a chunk of some of that as well. And I think that's where the focus should have been. And I think that they made a mistake with that, quite honestly. But, you know, not not a lot of people technically are dying with the number of people we have in this country. I mean, for the 88,000, yes, very traumatic. But you're talking about the difference what we have to do now in terms of working, going to school, traveling, hugs, time with friends, conferences. I mean, we were sitting up here talking about maybe trying to do something this summer. We're having a little barbecue, and we have several different patios at our house. We were talking about doing social distancing by each patio. So here's four people for this patio, four people for that patio, blah, 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 you know. And it's like, man, you know, but if you could even get people to come, but we're trying to be, you know, unique in how we're doing it, you know. So I don't know. So a part of me says social distancing under these circumstances are not bad. Okay, so I really don't have a problem with it. But let's be candid. More is at stake than lives and money. More is at stake than lives and money, Jamal. And what I mean by that is our freedom. That's where also people are rebelling. If we watch the news with the protesters, you're telling us to social distance, you know, and some of that's because, you know, staying at home. But again, this is the United States of America, and people don't like their freedom restricted. And that is what's causing, you know, people to rebel. And I think that's what's problematic and is going to continue to be problematic until we get this, you know, squared away. And again, we cannot rely on a vaccine. Some people are saying that the places, the states and the areas and the counties throughout the country that have done, that have released everybody, you know, okay, you guys can go, you know, go about, you know, go out again. You don't have to shelter at home. They're saying that the number of people are actually, I mean, excuse me, the number of cases have actually diminished. And the ones that have kept the restrictions with people being, you know, stuck together, so to speak, those states are actually going up a little bit. So the ones that are telling people, okay, going about, you know, this business about, what is it called? Herd. Oh, I forget what it is exactly. You know, herd. I'm trying to search for the word now. In other words, the more people actually get together, they help create these antibodies, basically. So keeping people all huddled up, it's called herd immunity. That because of the fact that they're being, you know, released out there and they're mingling together, because all the symptoms for everybody's not that bad. I mean, those are very small percentages. So they're saying actually it's a good thing because people's bodies can be building, you know, an immunity to this in the long run. So I don't know. You know, everybody's still, this is all, you know, again, speculation. But I'll tell you, Jamal, what I feel sad about. People that have actually passed away, either in hospitals or some of these homes, and their families can't be at their sides. That's horrible.
Right.
You know, that their families can't share those last moments with a loved one.
Right.
But I just don't know what else you can really do under those circumstances. So that is horrible.
A good friend of mine, his grandmother just passed away recently, and it wasn't from coronavirus. She was just up there in age, and she had to go to the hospital, and she was alone in there. And that was the biggest thing that made him upset, was just he couldn't go visit her and be by her side. And, you know, man, that's tough, man.
Well, we got an email, Jamal. You're aware of this email we got today from a family member that's in the hospital, and she can't be there with her husband. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus. He had an emergency surgery, and she can't be with him.
Right.
You know, that is sad news, without a doubt.
That is tough. And okay. Like, what about the grandparents that can't see their newborn grandchild? You know what I mean? Or can't hold them much.
I would say more like, can't hold them, because these days with Skype and Zoom, you at least get to see them, okay? Because technology does permit that, and they can't hold them. I agree, but that's not going to be forever.
Then the new father, he can't even be in the delivery room anymore at this point. You know,
that's true too. But a lot of dads, Jamal, let me just tell you, a lot of dads aren't interested in being in the delivery room. I can tell you when you were delivering, I wasn't there.
I was in there for all three of mine, man. I cut all three umbilical cords.
Okay, then that was the opportunity. But you're talking about natural childbirth. When you were born, you know, you were born by C-section, so that's a lot different. You know, being in the operating room. You know, back in that days, anyway. You know, I say back in those. Well, hell, you. That was back in the day, I guess, looking at now. So yeah, no doubt about it. But Jamal, let's talk about these 10 ways to keep the virus away.
All right.
You know, because, look, I think we're in agreement that as time has dragged on, the case that Americans are overreacting to the coronavirus, it's really beginning to take its toll. There's no doubt about that. And this business about social distancing really is becoming the quote unquote this. They're calling it the new norm, but we know. So what do we tell people? Look, if you're going to be out there, there's 10 ways to keep the virus away. What do you think, Jamal? What's number 10?
It says, don't hold or attend large meetings or gatherings. You don't want to, like, that means that's churches and things like that.
Bars, let's not forget the bars.
Well, yeah.
Happy hours, things of that nature. Yeah, I know.
Right.
You're still single, so you don't mind that. I get it, man. That's how you meet the ladies. I get that, man. But don't hold or attend large meetings or gatherings. I mean, look, I mean, they're talking about more drive-ins now are coming about because, you know, you can do it then. To me, this is a common situation with more businesses, I think, you know. And other than that, what's the rest of it really? The large gatherings, either church or a major social event. And what about people getting married? That to me is another one. I know a couple of people that have marriages that had to be postponed. And, you know, my niece was supposed to get married in May. That had to be postponed until July. So I don't know. Okay. The next one is, hey, you guys, be careful with public pens. What I mean by that is you go to the bank, you fill out your deposit slip, or you go to the takeout food at the restaurant because you called it in, and you use their pen to fill out the credit card information. Hey, take your own pen. All right, take your own pen. Don't use theirs.
Excuse me. FedEx and UPS packages.
That's right, because they'll turn around and hand you the pen. That's right. Okay, so you know, be careful with public pens. All right, and if you have to use one, make sure that you sanitize your hands afterwards. Now, people don't think about that. That's common. I went to the bank the other day, and they had a pen, you know, sitting there. Oh, yeah, use that pen because they don't want to – the teller's not going to give you their pen. And I didn't have my other pen with me because I had forgotten to bring it with me. And but as soon as I got in the car, what do you think I did? I hand sanitized.
Right.
What's the next one, Jamal?
Avoid rush hour in any situation that tends to attract many people.
And right now, I'm not sure there's rush hours anywhere, but hey, you know, you get on the freeway now, especially California, there is no rush hour right now, in my opinion, you know. But I don't know. I really, when I saw that one, I really didn't understand why they were talking about rush hour. Because
I didn't understand
people are in their cars anyway. I don't think it's a big deal. You know, from that particular situation, but they recommend avoid rush hour and any situation that tends to attract many people. Now, the next one is do not go to necessary places like the grocery store or the laundry room during peak hours.
Right.
Well, Jamal, you didn't tell me, when do you go? You go to the laundromat. When do you go?
Oh, I'm there at 5:30 in the morning, man. 5:30.
Yeah, there you go.
In the morning. It might be one or two people in there, but that's about it. I get in and out of there quick, fast, and then I get to the grocery store as soon as they open up also and get all my stuff.
Yeah, I get to the grocery store first thing. I agree with that one. I get there at 7 a.m. And another one that opens up at 6 a.m. So if we need something. And I try to make one stop so that it's just there, and now I've got what we need, you know, for the week or whatever the case may be, you know, whatever extra thing it might be. So get there early, people. All right. I know there's people who like to sleep in, but don't do that. You know, select the off hours to shop or to do your laundry. Don't do it in the middle of the day, you know, or it's better to do it late at night or early in the morning.
Right.
Okay. Now, the next one, Jamal, says don't go to workplaces, schools, movie theaters, sporting events, or higher mixing areas. Well, first of all, now we're having people are being recalled to work. Now, I know we know that because of the fact that we're in that situation as well.
Right.
That one to me makes sense. Don't shake, hug, or kiss. That makes sense. Avoid the crowded areas in a room. You know, watch activities that involve close interaction, which makes sense. and don't get too close to others. All of those are the common sense approaches I think that most people are doing now. And of course, they're also talking about staying at home as much as possible. So those are the ones they gave. So like I told you earlier, some of those to me are just common sense, without a doubt. But okay, Jamal, what do we got on the line of sports here? Oh, and wait, the blast. I'm going to send out that blast. Did you hear about the... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. I heard you had somebody on blast this week.
Yeah, because L.A. County Sheriff's Department has a lockup, okay? And the prisoners thought that if they got coronavirus, that they would be released early. So they had videos of these guys all drinking out of the same water cup because if they caught somebody that tested positive so that they could get out, you know, with an early release. And what did the L.A. County Sheriff say? Oh, no, not going to happen. And what happened after this video? 2 weeks after that, 30 inmates had coronavirus as a result of what these guys did. And guess what? They are still on lockdown. So these guys are on blast. What a bunch of dummies, so to speak. Did not work.
Hey, well,
good for them.
At least they got company. At least they got company now to keep a good domino game going.
Hey, Jamal, if they feel up to it, some of them, the symptoms are going to be different than other ones. Like, I know, hey, Jamal, I know somebody sitting there talking about who the heck's idea was this? Whoever suggested that, man, they're going to jam him up, man, when they're all feeling better. And anyway, well, what do you got on the sports?
That's why they did the first place, because of their damn logic.
That's it. So what have we got on the sports information this week in the last few minutes, Jamal? What's going on in the world?
In the sports week, man, we have you might want to put these guys on blast too. Defensive back DeAndre Baker from the New York Giants, who was a rookie last year, and Quentin Dunbar of the Seattle Seahawks, all been arrested for robbery. Now, the story behind this is apparently they was at a Once again, they wasn't doing social distancing. They was at a house party where they was playing cards and gambling and stuff like that at a house party. Combined together, these clowns lost $70,000 in gambling money. So what happens is they lost $70,000. So a couple days later, they go back to the same party where they lost this money at, and then they decide to rob people in the middle of the party. They took, they robbed somebody for an $18,000 Rolex watch, $7,000 in cash, another watch that was worth $25,000, and they all sped off in their luxury cars.
In the world could these guys think they were going to get away with that?
Right. You guys are NFL players. We see you every Sunday. So,
hey, didn't Quentin Dunbar play for my boys?
Yeah, he played for the Washington Redskins.
Oh, man.
I wasn't going to throw that at you, but yeah, but he got traded to the Seahawks anyway in the offseason. So, you know, but, you know, like, listen, man, combined together, they lost $70,000. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The rookie DeAndre Baker, he was on a rookie contract, but his contract was worth $10.5 million. With a $9 million guarantee, including a $5.67 million signing bonus. So you throw all of this away behind $70,000 of gambling debt?
Well, you know what, Jamal? That tells me this was about emotions. They were pissed off. They probably felt they got ripped off. But hell, maybe the people at the party weren't even the same people at the party the week before.
They weren't.
Wow.
But, you know, you think you got emotional problems now. Wait till you realize you just lost that $10 million.
That's right. And not to mention the attorney fees. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to try and rationalize this. And, you know, when they walk into court talking about, well, how do you plead not guilty? You got 30 people in the courtroom that are going to be laughing and pointing fingers.
Of course, the lawyers said, once again, it's not what it looks like. You know, everybody has that excuse. It's not what it looks like. Okay, cool. Like, you know what I mean? We'll see. But
it's never what it looks like, Jamal. Never what it looks like, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll give a follow-up to our listeners on this one. I want to see what happens to these two guys. All right, you've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. And unfortunately, it's time to close out this show. Hey, be sure to join us next week. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Jamal, you got any final words real quick?
Yeah, stay at home. Don't get any gambling debt at a house party.
All right, everybody. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, and more importantly, be safe. Until next week, guys. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.